This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Kusu Chuang and Tan Chung Han. The top business stories of the day. There's been a shake-up in the political hierarchy at the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Prince Mohammed bin Nayef has been replaced as the crown prince. Now, next in line to the throne is Prince Mohammed bin Salam. Han, tell us more about that.
All right, so Prince Mohammed bin Salman, affectionately known affectionately known as MBS. Now he's just 30.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah, MBS. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So we are totally on initial basis right now. MBS, just 31 years old, though. Man, so makes you wonder, what are you doing with your life? So he rose to
Into the wrong family, yeah. Into another family.
Dang it, yeah. He rose to prominence more so last year, when he announced his plan to transform the Saudi economy, known as this Vision 2030 plan. Doesn't that sound familiar, Chuang?
We love our, big highfalutin.
It's just a year.
Bolshevik type.
2020, 2050, they're all just years.
This is very communist Russian, isn't it?
It's all numbers.
Big
the five-year plans are Soviet.
Right.
Yeah.
So by 2030, essentially, he wants to reduce Saudi Arabia's dependence on oil and also develop the private sector. Now, a big part of that plan, as we have spoken about extensively here on this show, is that plan to privatize that state oil giant Saudi Aramco. Now, Chuang, also, I think you raised this in your chat with Ben LeBron. Just now, right? About how MBS has really exerted his influence, not just in the economics and oil space, but also perhaps in defense policy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been an avowed, opponent of the Iranian military complex there. But I think more pertinently, it's what he's going to do with the Saudi oil strategy, because at last count, I think West Texas is around about $43 a barrel. Oil prices are officially in bear market territory now. They've gone down 22% since the January highs, which is why now RON 95 has just been priced at 191 ringgit per litre.
Just in time for Raya.
Smiles and miles for all of us, but obviously not good because Malaysia is a producer, because obviously our ringgit. And you would have seen the ringgit has been on a downward trajectory the last few days because of oil prices.
I think the markets do appreciate succession that's orderly and without rancor. And so what we have here is that, in fact, I believe the reports have come out that say that Prince Mohammed bin Nayef, who was the crown prince before this, has already pledged allegiance to Prince Salman. But, the thing about palace intrigues is, and palace politics is, you can never be sure, right? And so the question is, are observers saying that Salman is there and he's now firmly in the seat because his father hasn't passed away? And when he does, is it a done deal that he will take over?
Well, I mean, as it stands, everything is else equal. That's the idea here. He's the next heir to the throne. But, I mean, it's not like he's, coming out of nowhere, because he has certainly, exerted his influence in the past. I mean, if you talk about how, he actually met with President Donald Trump back in March, going over to the White House. And I believe he has actually met the Trump family twice, I believe. So, he's certainly gone about, basically spreading his wings and, crafting his own legacy or platform. When that ascension eventually happens. Because keep in mind, King Salman is, 81 years old. You're right, Sharad. Knowing that succession plan is in place, I think that's certainly an important component, not just to, what Saudi Arabia means to, the economies like Malaysia and the rest of the world, but also certainly to oil markets and also the geopolitical tensions or the geopolitical risks in the Middle East.
Well, close linkages to the White House notwithstanding, I think, according to the experts, U.S. shale production is arguably the biggest reason why oil prices have tanked in recent days. The rig count has increased for 22 consecutive weeks, rising to 747 active shale oil rigs in production currently. And that has obviously been flooding the market with excess supply, driving prices down. So as Ben was pointing out, if and when oil prices hit descend into the 30s, then you might see some of these rigs shutter. Depending on where you sit on the equation, guys, whether you're a consumer of petrol or diesel as a car-going motorist, or if you're a producer. But I think the larger concern for Malaysians is where oil prices are and where the ringgit is in relation to that. I've been watching the ringgit the last few days, and we're back at about 4.29 or so to the dollar, down from about 4.26 levels. So, I guess that's a direct consequence of where oil prices are.
Okay. Also in the news, Bajaj Media's financial situation has worsened. Its fourth quarter net loss has quadrupled, has now slipped into practice note 17 status, or PN17.
Yeah, PN17 now for Berjaya Media, and arguably their flagship product there being the Sun newspaper. Now, I was just going through the Bloomberg terminal, though, and looking at their net income over the last few years. How about this, okay? I'm looking at Berjaya Media. For the last 2 years in a row, they have posted a net loss of about 47 million ringgit. All right. The net income that they saw in 2014, just 4.1 million ringgit. If you go back further, though, they've just been bleeding money, you know, like as far back. Well, right now, my terminal, I can go back to the year 2000, and pretty much they've been bleeding money, net losses every single year, with net incomes, annual net incomes, being the exception rather than the norm. So here today, we have this news that Berjaya Media has fallen into PN17 status.
Well, the thing is, Berjaya Media, Media's flagship and I think sole or main media product is the Sun newspaper,
right?
the free circulating daily paper. When I look at the broader macro picture for ADEX and more specifically newspapers, it's not a pretty picture, because obviously I think 2 years ago, I'm talking about main numbers because May ADEX numbers have come out. In 2015, May, ADEX for newspapers clocked in 386 million ringgit. Last year, they clocked in at 315, which is a 70 million ringgit drop. And this year, May 2015, 252 million ringgit, a 60 million drop. So every year, it's been precipitously dropping, not just by small single-digit percentage points, but large...
Tens of millions.
Yeah, yeah. So... The thing to note here is it's not necessarily maybe the ADEX market is shrinking. It's because of the migration to online, online properties, whether it's a Facebook or Google, or I think, you know, more recently the RevAsia acquisition by Media Prima. So the thing is, the boffins and Nielsen, whoever tracks this, or Cancer Media, they can't really spot, I think, necessarily digital ADEX, because A, is fragmented, and B, a lot of the digital properties are not, you know, as forthcoming about their numbers as they might have been with print. And you see, I mean, the Star newspaper, when they report earnings, they lump in print and digital into one big headline number. Mm. And you can't tell what the ratios are.
But here's the thing, you know, even with them, you know, apparently lumping those figures together, you know, I pulled up some data. So Star Media here, their net income for last year, 2016, actually fell by over 17% on year. So that's a double digit on year decline compared to the net income that they saw in 2015. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Star Media. Media Prima, though, how about this? 2016, they saw a net loss of almost 60 million ringgit. That's just last year alone, Media Prima. That is their first annual net loss since 2002. So over a dozen years, you know, so that's their first net loss there. So I think it's a sign of a broader trend, though. We have got PN17 now for Berjaya Media, you know, aka Sun newspaper. And when you look at the fortunes of Star Media, Media Prima, well, all these other traditional media players, you know, it doesn't look good, really.
Well, guys, it's across the board, because, you know, and Utusan, and, you know, yeah, the most famous and most frail.
Yeah, but they're much loved by the government. And so they say, and therefore...
Well, good for them.
So they can never fail.
Good for them. Okay. But the thing is, you know, just look no further than the Gen X's, the Gen Y's and the Gen Z's. They have not picked up a newspaper ever. I mean, you know, my brother's 15 years younger than me. He's 31 this year. He's never picked up a physical newspaper in his life. You know where he gets his news?
Facebook. Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, but that's the way it is for the young'uns.
Yeah, if it doesn't show up on your Facebook news feed, then it's not news.
It's not news.
Manipulation, right?
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
And then this whole discussion about fake news happens, right?
Right. I mean, but real quick.
Real
quick though. I mean, while we're discussing the business models and the you know what's happening at Sun newspaper, I think it's just also important to note what this could mean for the employees over there, because they are our fellow media practitioners.
Well, scale up. There's only one way forward. Just scale up. You know, if you're a print journalist, as Sharad Kutin.
But I believe the organizations like the Sun are very lean. Well, yeah, the days when I was working there.
It's not incumbent upon your employer to skill you up. You've got to skill you up yourself.
Absolutely.
Skill yourself up.
Talking about skills. Okay. Speaking of red herrings, perhaps.
Ooh.
A Royal Commission of Inquiry has been set up to probe billions of ringgit of foreign exchange losses incurred by Bank Negara in the 80s and the 90s. The task force, chaired by former Chief Secretary of the Government, Tan Sri Muhammad Siddiq Hassan, was set up in February. So why is it in the news today?
So it's in the news today because of that RCI. Now, this comes on the back of the findings of a special task force. Yeah, lots of investigations going on.
Not into one MDB.
Let's focus on this first. So we've got the special task force that was set up following the news report back in January that apparently the forex losses incurred by Bank Negara back in the 80s and 90s was a lot more than previously stated. According to a statement from Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who was called in as part of the investigation, that figure could have risen to anywhere between 15 to 30 billion ringgit. Again, this is back in the 80s and 90s, makes you wonder what that amount
is. But it does warm the cockles of us history buffs. I think we all want to know.
This is Malaysia's reality. We set up a Royal Commission of Inquiry on something that happened 30 years ago, but we're not setting up an RCI for 1MDB, which is being investigated in 7 other jurisdictions around the world, but Malaysia.
To be fair, Chuang, the investigations here happened. They came to the conclusion that no wrong was done.
Absolutely.
And everything has been tied up neatly in a box. As far as we're concerned...
Hold on. Bank Negara did find something wrong with 1MDB. They find 1MDB. They also find another local bank. So let's be fair here.
Okay.
Good. That's the voice of reason right there.
Yeah. And so no more needs to be said.
All I'm saying is this, okay? Because, look, obviously here on this show, be it the Felda Global Ventures, be it the Protons, be it the 1MDBs, we certainly dedicate a lot of airtime to it. And I'm not shying away from that. What I'm saying is that now that there's this RCI, I think it deserves its time in the sun as well. And we'll see what the RCI comes up with.
Oh, wonderful. We'll be back after the news, of course, with the Breakfast Grill. Coming up, the Bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.